Read and hear more about important news and policy issues at ncpolicywatch.com. This is News and Views with Chris Fitzsimon.
Welcome to another edition of News and Views. Thanks for joining us. Hundreds of people packed legislative committee rooms Tuesday for a public hearing about proposals to require voters to have a government-issue photo ID. Republican legislative leaders have promised that a voter ID bill will pass this session, despite no evidence of voter impersonation fraud and a report from the State Board of Elections showing that several hundred thousand people in our state currently do not have a valid photo ID. Joining us now to talk about the voter ID proposal and North Carolina's low ranking in public school spending is Senator Ellie Kinnaird from Orange County. Senator Kinnaird, thank you very much for being with us on News and Views. We appreciate your time. I know you're busy.
Well, I very much appreciate your covering the legislature so thoroughly.
Let's jump in with, I guess, one of the issues of the week, which is voter ID, a four-hour public hearing held in House Elections Committee. I know you have filed the Voter Protection Integrity and Every Vote Counts legislation. Let's just start asking you, what do you think of the push by the legislative leadership for a government-issue photo ID this session?
This is, of course, a response to their fear, well-founded fear, that they are not able to win elections without, shall we say, rigging the system. That perhaps sounds a little extreme, but I think that's what it amounts to. They know that there is a large group, I think it's 600,000 at last count, who do not have an ID, a government-issued ID. And they know that those are mostly older people, mostly minorities, mostly people who are not able, for one reason or another, to have a car. And we know that those also are the people who vote the most. And so it looks to me as though this is a method of making sure that those people who vote heavily Democratic do not get to the polls. And so that is, to me, a great concern.
And your bill, Senate Bill 235, how does it address the issue?
Well, one of the things that we're very afraid of is that this actually will pass. We have heard from Governor McCrory that he will sign this bill, that was one of his goals when he was getting elected. We know that the Republicans have this as one of their top agenda items. So what we thought was that could we mitigate it if it does pass, which it will. I mean, we know it will pass. Contrary to the fact that there were hundreds of people yesterday saying, do not do this, they're still going to go ahead and do it. So the mitigation would be that if a person shows up at the polls on election day, ready to vote but has no government-issued photo ID, they would take a picture of that person, and that would be on file. That would be a record. Then allow them to vote. Then if there's a question, if somebody else comes up and says, I'm a person with the same name, they would say, well, this doesn't match your photo, and we know that you are not this person. And so this would give that person who doesn't have the photo ID but who is a legitimate voter the opportunity to vote and have that vote count and be on record.
I want to move to a couple of other issues facing the General Assembly. One, the governor's budget is expected in the next couple of weeks, and I wanted to get your thoughts about things we learned in the last couple of weeks about education funding. North Carolina is now 48th in the country in per-pupil spending. Our teacher salary ranking is 46th. A teacher has to work 15 years in North Carolina to even make $40,000 a year, and yet we're told there's no new money for public schools, and I wondered what your thoughts are.
Well, first of all, I'm going to start with how come we can give $100 million away to MetLife. I haven't done the math, but I'm sure that's a whole heck of a lot of money per job that they supposedly have created. And, of course, anytime you take taxes away from a business, somebody has to pick it up, and, of course, it's the individual taxpayer. But I recall the days when Governor Hunt was committed to making sure that we had teacher salaries that were above the average. Here we are way below the average. We always think, what's at the bottom? Well, it's Mississippi. Well, are we headed there? It's looking more and more like we are. We do know that our teachers are getting discouraged and are finding other ways to commit themselves to helping others, and it's not going to be in the school system if they can't make the progress and salaries. It's just very sad, and of course this translates to a lot of pressure on those two teachers that are left behind.
And it's interesting that the House had an education week recently, and they had superintendents and principals and teachers in, and the superintendents were very clear that they did not support efforts to have vouchers or tax credits for private schools, and yet Legislative leaders in both chambers continue to talk about that as one solution to what they say is our education problem.
I have to laugh when they have an education week the same week that they're announcing these terrible predictions of what they're going to do for our teachers and our schools. And, of course, that's their goal, I think. They really want to diminish the effectiveness of our public schools, create private schools, create more charter schools. And what happens is we have a segregation, unfortunately, resegregation of our schools. We are leaving the public schools with those that cost the most to educate. It's a real erosion of a commitment to the public schools so that all children can have the best education.
I want to ask you about an environmental issue. The Senate recently approved a bill to allow, begin actually permitting for horizontal drilling, hydraulic fracturing, I guess better known as fracking. I know you thought that was a bad idea. And then now we learn that Representative Rick Catlin, who's actually a hydrogeologist, is worried about what we're going to do with all the wastewater that's created from fracking. He's a conservative Republican, and yet even his concerns seem to be ignored.
It's very interesting that somehow there's a fracturing of the Republican majority opinion on this about fracturing under our very feet. Two things happened. First of all, they removed the state geologist, and he said this is absolutely unwise. We need that expertise on the Mining and Energy Commission, which of course we do. And then of course they suddenly decided that since the geology wasn't appropriate to dispose of the waste in this area where it's going to be mined, theoretically, we'll put it at the coast. And all of a sudden the Republicans at the coast are saying, wait a minute, that isn't what we thought we voted for. So there is disagreement, and we'll see what happens. What finally is the outcome? Now, I have spoken with a member of the Mining and Energy Commission who said there's not really very much natural gas here in North Carolina. So the real concern is if the big companies don't come in because there's not enough, what we're left is the sort of wildcat companies. Do they have the capital to make sure they clean up afterwards? And, of course, we did get some bonding in. I was glad for that. But there are no impact fees to our local governments. How are they going to pay for the roads, for the extra schools, for the extra crime that we know from experience has come in, to say nothing of perhaps wells that are contaminated?
Maybe coming full circle, this General Assembly and Governor McCrory have voted and signed bills to slash unemployment benefits, to refuse Medicaid expansion, now to not let the EITC continue past this year. We've talked about teacher funding and fracking and all these things. And I think it's probably safe to say you don't believe that the people of North Carolina voted for all these things, and yet they voted under gerrymandered maps, which you also want to do something about.
You know, what's happened, all the things you described are sort of reverse Robin Hood. We get rid of the earned income tax credit for the working poor, and we're going to maybe get rid of the estate tax. So who pays for the windfall of the estate tax? I think what we are seeing is an erosion of a commitment to our people. That is absolutely what's happening. And I think that I have no faith that the courts are going to change the redistricting. I wish they would, but when the Obama administration said that the maps were okay, I think that sort of sealed it. And, of course, the last election in the Supreme Court. But I think that what we're going to see is perhaps people who are independents and paying attention. Now, that's the question. Are they paying attention? But I think enough people have been touched negatively that we will see that people in the 2014 say, no, this is not what we intended. Now, here's another dangerous bill coming through, getting rid of straight party voting on the ballot. This would be a disaster. So many people use the party because they know that they reflect their values. But if they don't know what party people represent on the ballot, how are they going to know? And we could have a huge drop off in voting with voter ID, with getting rid of that, and the gerrymandering. I'm very concerned. But we have to get out there and work. And we will work, and we will tell people exactly what has happened.
Well, Senator Kinnaird, thank you for doing that. Thanks for your service in the Senate, and we appreciate your time. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much.
Up next, what the decision not to extend the state earned income tax credit means for working families in North Carolina. Stay with us.